Rabbi Sai, there's a famous story, and I didn't believe it. I was skeptical about it, but then I saw it on Shabbos in a sefer, written by a grandson of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he witnessed it himself. So this is the story, Rabbi Sai. It's a good story. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky went to the convention in Eretz Yisrael. When he flew back to, 1980. He flew back from Eretz Yisrael, where it was a great convention. He flew back to America, and in that flight, he was being looked after by his son, Rabbi Kamenetsky, and his son was very, very respectful to Rabbi Yaakov. He literally took off his shoes of his father, who was already elderly, Gadol Hador. By then, he took his shoes, he looked after him, making him coffee, and looked up, was very, very extremely respectful to the giant of the Dor, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And literally a few seats away, or maybe on the other aisle, it said the name of him, but I forgot. The head of the Histadrut, a very senior civil servant in Eretz Yisrael. It said the name, and I've forgotten. Who was also accompanied by his son or his close relative, and he couldn't believe it how his son was. They were both in the same age group. Rav Kamenetsky and him on the same age group, but he couldn't believe how respectful his son was. He said, "That's unbelievable. Look how beautiful your son." And he couldn't give up because this person was a complete chiloni, and he didn't understand. So he went up to him and said, "How can it be that? How can it be that your son treats you, you know, so respectfully? And in our family, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen." So he said, "It's very, very simple." Rav Kamenetsky answered. It's as follows: "For us, we know that this is constantly Yiddish Torah. You know, we know this is Kabbalah's Torah, and I'm one that little bit closer to Kabbalah's Torah than my son, and he knows that. I'm that little bit closer to Kabbalah's Torah. It was Moshe Rabbeinu, etc., etc. All the way. I'm that little bit closer to Kabbalah's Torah. So therefore, my son respects me because I'm this Yiddish Torah. He knows I'm that little bit greater, a little bit closer." However, you believe in the belief system that you descend from apes, and the evolution and Darwin, and you believe in that. So obviously in his what you have taught him, what you have trained him, is to understand that you know that you being the father is that little bit closer to apes than him. So why do you expect him to respect you? You know why do you expect him to respect you? He's not going to respect you. He's not going to give you any. And therefore, he said it's all about transmitting the right values to the children. I thought it was an interesting story. Attacker. Okay. Rabbi Yisai, interesting halachas. We're Nilchas Tefillin, and we are Simon Chav Hei. We discussed yesterday a little bit about the putting on of Tefillin. Today we're going to be discussing a halacha which is very commonly kept in Eretz Yisrael, less so in England. I don't know why, but let's see what the concept behind it is, and if there's any way we can fulfill it here in Chutz La'aretz. I also want to speak a little bit about the crucial yesod of wearing tefillin when one recites Kriyas Shema. Here again, a couple of ha'oros as well on this point. Rabbi Yisai, in our dear traditions of the Mishneh Berurah, page 64, either way, it's in Siman Chafei, Seif Beis. Misho yesoya betalas cotton. Somebody's wearing a talas cotton, yal bishenu, he should put on a talas cotton, v'yaniach tefillin beveisoy. We are addressing a person should put on, what the Shulchan Aruch says is, if you wear talis cotton, if you wear tzitzis, you can't put on tzitzis and subsequently put on tefillin in your house. So put on tzitzis and you tefillin in your house. V'yeylech, and then go, lovush betzitzis, wearing your tzitzis, umuchte betefillin, and crowned with your tefillin, which represent the crown, we'll speak about in later stage of Mitzvah Shem. Tefillin is like a crown. Leveis HaKnesses, wearing the tzitzis and the tefillin like a crown, you go to shul. No. Tzitzis. Bear with me, yes. Vesh'om, and there in shul is atif betalas gadol, and there you're going to put on the talas gadol. There in shul you're going to put the talas gadol. Where did that come from? What is this all about? But let's see what the more adds to that. V'olam no'agul is atif av betalas gadol, The Rama says, no, the minig is to wear also the talis gadol koidem, before that, you make the bracha on talis gadol as well, and afterwards, then you put on tefillin, then you put on, you go to your Beis HaKnesses. So the Shulchan Aruch says, what you do is, you put on your tzitzis, then you put on tefillin, then you walk to shul, and in shul you put on the talis gadol. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama disagrees, and he says, no, the order is not quite like that. The minig is, and is that you put on the tzitzis anyway, you put on the talis and the tefillin all at home, and then you walk to shul whilst wearing your talis gadol and your tefillin. That's how you walk to shul, and that's how you're going to be finding yourself in shul. Where does that all come from? Interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Ches tells us the background of that is Kedei Sifkot and Ches, Kedei Sheyeitzi Mepesach Beisoy. A person should exit the house Bet Tzitzis, whilst wearing Tzitzis and Tfilin. Kemo Shehevi Beis Yosef, Vada Kemo Shebeshem HaZoya. It's one of the few places, one of the few places that the Shulchan Aruch quotes as Zoya HaKadosh. Normally, we understand Zoya HaKadosh being Sforim of Nista, of Kabbalah, which it is. In only a few select places, the Shulchan Aruch, which is a halacha sefer, obviously, quotes the Zoya HaKadosh, and this is one of those rare places. So what it's telling us is that there is a Kabbalah concept, a mystical concept, that a person should leave this house whilst having tzitzis and tefillin. You leave your house like that, and that's how you enter the shul. So Shulchan Aruch says it's good enough to wear tzitzis and tefillin. Rama said, no, better to wear your talis, which obviously is a good tzitzis, and your tefillin, and that's how you leave your house. This is a great inyan. The Mishnah says now, what about if you're going to go through roads which are mevuois hametunofois, which are dirty, soiled streets? Remember, Rabbi Isai, we are very lucky, but until not such long time ago, the waste will go on the side of your house. And not such a long time ago. So I'm sure there's still some buildings in mid-London which have some remains of the way it was built. Horses, of course. Of course, yeah, absolutely. So the streets were but not particularly clean. Can you wear your talis and tefillin on streets which are dirty? Or alternatively, another problem as well, you've got goyim on the streets which may not be so tolerant and understanding. Look how the Jew is walking. So therefore, the person should then put in the courtyard, in the Polish. Yes, how do we say that in English?
Foyer.
That's it. Yeah, what did you say? Lobby of the shul. If that's not possible, so the greatest bedi evet, or alternatively, what he says, if it's, you can also put him on in a home, cover with your hat, or cover with your hand. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Rabbi Yisai, there's a lot of chidushim here. First of all, to get this clear, the Zohar Kodesh tells us of a very beautiful concept. If a person can, he should put on, he should walk into shul, tzitzis, or talis, with a tefillin on. In Yerushalayim, it's very, very common, depending on where you live, but there's no real reason not to do so. There's no goyim there, or they're in a minority and they don't really, they're okay. And also in terms of mevuos hametunofos, the streets are not particularly dirty. Although having said that, some people, Reb Shlomo Zalman asked about the rubbish, the tzfadim, the big green rubbish dumps, so sometimes do smell, not sometimes, no. They do smell. However, it may not be classified as something which is mevuos hametunofos, because at the end of the day, it's covered, the rubbish bags are kind of covering it. So therefore, the poskim are lenient. I mean, Rav Yashiv didn't like it so much, and Rav Yashiv, but many who are lenient, they say that it's covered up and it's a suffix, so you can. But yeah, there's perhaps room to be stringent a little bit, but at least in terms of practicality, it's certainly much more practical to put on your talis and tefillin at home, and that's how you walk to shul. In England, it's not so easy to do.
The did that when we had the garden meeting over the road.
Yeah, in garden meeting, you can, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Any person can do that. Now, I want to be medayik something. A while ago, somebody was medayik to me something in the Mishnah Berurah. I don't fully understand it, but I wonder what you think about it, Zaboisai. Mishnah Berurah says, if you can't put it at home, what you do? You put it in the chotzah. Yanicham bechotzah beis haknesses. Now, I know that in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, it's taka the way people do it. People will put on naturally, as a matter of course, people will put on before they enter the shul. There is those tables. Any shul will have this area that you put on talis and tefillin, and that's how you enter the actual Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash, where you're going to daven. You're going to enter that place whilst wearing it already. Yeah, in Shtiblach it's a bit more difficult, it's true. But the many shuls allow you to do that. In England it's much less common. In England, the shuls, even the ones which are very minhag conscious, and the shuls which are built already for, you know, been standing and running for, you know, perhaps even centuries, they will not, they normally, it's not in the system somehow. I don't know why, but it's not so inbuilt. It's quite common. You go to shul and that's how you put on the tassel. I'm not sure why. Don't know. But it seems to be a very, very choshev inyan to do that. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us in the name of the Zohar Kodesh. I don't know.
But usually these foyers are smaller than the shul themselves. If everyone arrived at shul on the Yekish time, it'd be...
Okay, a bit of a squash. Yeah, all right. Yeah. I want to be medayik something else as well. Look at the words of the Shulchan Aruch. Excuse me, the words of the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Ches, the first five words. Why? What's the point of putting on the talis and tefillin at home? Why? What's the point? Kedeshiyetzim ePesach Beisoy. What does that mean? You go out of your house, but it's tefillin. So it seems to be, the emphasis seems to be the going out of the house. There seems to be, I don't know Kabbalah. I don't know this Zohar Kodesh. All I know is what the Mishnah Berurah is telling us. But it seems to be, the Mishnah Berurah seems to give us an indication that the point of it is the leaving of your house with the talis and tefillin. Yeah, I also think so. I also, it might be connected to the mezuzah, talis and tefillin. You leave your house, that's how you connect it to the shul. There's lots of thoughts you can have in a hashkofa, drush type of way. You know, you're leaving out there. So that, I can hear that very, very much. But if that's true, and it seems to be that is the point, then the question is going to be, what's the point of the chotzam? I don't know. I really don't know. There's still some, Pesach Beisoy, you're leaving the Mishnah Berurah seems to be emphasizing the leaving the Pesach Beisoy. So I'm not sure. But Halach L'Maaseh Rabbeinu, we've got the best option is Talis and Tefillin at home. Second best is Talis and Tefillin in the Chotzer. And the worst option is to do it the way we kind of do it, is to put Talis and Tefillin in Shul. So it's important to know, and I don't really know why our custom has been established like that, because surely there should be ways of tweaking, adjusting that. Now, that should be like that. That should be lichayr the same halacha than chotzer, lichayr, because you're entering the shul with a talis and tefillin.
Dressing room, and they come onto the stage, like in their stage.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the dressing room is, but is that where they?
That's how they do it.
They put it on before, right?
So they appear.
Yeah, it sounds. I mean, that's what you mean, because it sounds. It's the muhta. It's the crowned aspect. You're crowned as you walk in. Yeah. Okay. Now the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Gimel keeps. But it's important to emphasize we've got justification, because it says when there's goyim around, one shouldn't do this. Where's my tunnel? I don't think the streets are so dirty. I think we should probably, on the whole, yeah. I mean, I know dogs and stuff, but I'm saying on the. But in terms of nochim, the goyim, perhaps that's the reason why we don't. You know, you can't put in our home, because there's goyim around and it does look odd. It's galus after all, and start walking around with talis and tefillin from your home. Might not be. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. It's better. The Mishnah Berurah, you know, it's better not to do that where there's goyim around. Siv Gimel Rabbeisai Roshay Mesader Abroches at Oyte Yisrael Betifora. The Rosh used to say the brachas in the morning, all the way till Oyte Yisrael Betifora, Ve'oz, and then Oyim Niach Tefillin. after the brach of Oiter Yisrael B'Sifor, that's when he put on the tefillin Umevarech, and then with the tefillin on, he would say Oiter Yisrael B'Sifor. So in other words, the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us that the Rosh had a minhag. His custom was he would wake up, say, put on a talus, and he would then recite the brachas all the way till Oite Yisrael B'Sifor, put on the tefillin, and then at that stage, what's the connection between the bracha of Oite Yisrael B'Sifor and putting on tefillin? Of course, because the tefillin is a crown. And that's why, in connection to that bracha, that's when he whilst reciting the bracha, he would put on the tefillin. Is that the minhag? Have you ever seen anybody doing that? No, has the Mishnah Berurah. It's got new gimel. Umevarech oiter. Ve'atzachan, the Malbim says, Loi ro'isi shenayagin ken. Even the Malbim says, I've never seen anybody doing that. So it must be that. Where did Malbim live? Malbim lived in Bucharest, I believe, no? Malbim was in Bucharest? And Bucharest is in? No. I think it's in Bulgaria, no? Romania? Okay, so in Romania also, it looks like the meaning wasn't to do it like the Rosh. I've never seen anybody doing that. You'd first put on tefillin, and then say the brachas, perhaps say the brachas after putting on tefillin. But either way, you're not going to interrupt, in the middle of your Birkas HaShachar, interrupt, and then put on tefillin. That's not the minhag. Either you put on tefillin before or after. Yeah, that's interesting. That is the minhag of the Ekkes. That is a real minhag of the Ekkes. To go all the way till Mizmah Shir, and just before Mizmah Shir to say to put on
tefillin. You know, there's one
here, Ketanga. Shlomo Ketanga,
keep all the
Ekkes minhagim. Yes, he does. Yeah, sure, yeah. It is. That's what they had to do it in the real Ekkes. No, L'chayre, that's not, no. No. But here is a nice minik. Anybody wants to make a nice minik? That's what the Mishnah Berurah approves of and he likes. I've seen people who are medaktik or careful with the mitzvahs, and what do they do? I've seen people who are careful with mitzvahs. What do? They're not going to put on tefillin at that stage when they say Oteh Sofet Tefor. But what they do is they touch the tefillin, both tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, when they say the bracha of Oteh Yisrael B'Sifor. Because again, it is a crown, and it is mentioning the crowns that we wear. So, no, you're not going to put on tefillin when you say the bracha, but you can touch your tefillin when you recite the bracha. And Mishnah will say that's a nice minhag to do. You can do that simultaneously. Works well. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Siv Dalad Aboisa. Here is a very, very, very big chiddush. A really big chiddush. And I have a question on this. You must wear tefillin. Rabbi say, you must wear tefillin. B'shas kriyas shema v'tefillin. When you say shema and when you say shemana ezer, you must wear your tefillin. Why? Yeah, that's correct. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I'm skipping the first three lines, and you've got new Dalet. Amrinu b'Gemara. The Gemara says, Kol ha'koyer kriya shema. Whoever says and recites kriya shema b'li tefillin, without a tefillin, harei hu is keilu made eidu sheker be'atzmo. It's as if he gives false testimony himself. Why? Perush b'toisvus. Toisvus explains, levisho oimu, k'shatem lo'ois. When we say shema, we say k'shatem lo'ois. What does that mean? Yeah, and what he's referring to, obviously, to tefillin, right? And how can you say ukshatem lois? You're saying happily shema ukshatem lois, and you're not wearing tefillin. It's as if you're giving false testimony. You're giving edusheker. It's like you're speaking. You're giving like long speeches about something. You're not keeping it to yourself. You're not keeping it yourself.
Your minion is after.
Oh, I want to get to that. I want to get to that. Ve'ein kosher, ve'av, yeah. So he says, ve'av shebedi'evad yotze de kriyas shema. Yes, of course, you're going to be yotze, saying kriyas shema without tefillin. True. Mikol mokin, nevertheless, yesh lo aveira mitzad acher. He's doing an aveira. You're showing, I don't care about what Hashem really says. And that's Eidu Sheker, that a person that said Eidu Sheker on himself. So, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah passes. Rabbi Yisai, a person must wear tefillin when he says Shema. The question here is, you're right. What did you say?
Your minion is after Sosman for Shema.
Yeah. So here is a question. So the Achronim discussed this very point you mentioned. What happens if you want to, on Shabbos, is it very common? Well, that wouldn't be a tefillin question, yeah? But I'm saying, if a person, that's right, you want to daven to a slightly later minion, say in the summer, and it might be according to a later, according to some opinions, Pasuk Kishma. So you want to say Shema now, first thing in the morning. First thing, when you want to say Shema? But you're only going to put on tefillin a little bit later. So what are you going to do now? Are you going to say, oh, can't put on tefillin? I'm not going to put on tefillin now, so I can't say Shema? Should you say Shema or not? Okay, but I can't really put on tefillin now, and then afterwards later again. That's not going to... I don't want to put on tefillin yet. Does that mean I have to put on tefillin? Does that mean really I have to put on tefillin, say a quick Shema, and then afterwards take them off, and then go to... Ideally, yes. So you're 100% right. Ideally, yes. But... Oh, very nice. Beautiful svar. The Meister Rabbi Yisai, Halacha Meister, the Poskim are finding it challenging to justify it, but the minig is, certainly, it's true to say, if a person... I don't like the expression, to grab Shema. How should you say it more elegantly? To chapa Shema. It's not right to say that. To say the Shema, to be Yotze, I don't know how to say that. I don't know. You know what I mean? To take them and to say Shema, to be Yotze, all the Sof's man's. Yeah, I don't know how to say it respectfully and elegantly. But if a person has to say Shema in the morning to catch this man, and the person wants it. The minig is certainly not to put on tefillin. Of course, if a person can, he should. If a person doesn't, it's still okay. It's the poskim certainly say, if you must say a Shema in the morning in order to catch Sof's man, you can't put on tefillin, you should certainly do so. May I fit into the category of oiners, or maybe another explanation, but certainly that's the way a person should do that. And here, Rabbi Yisai, comes the greatest chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah tonight. Yes?
Everything you said,
no. It doesn't. Right. Now, Rabbi Yisai, the greatest chiddush yet of the evening, and probably I would argue the hardest halacha, one of the hardest halachas. Steht azoi. Mishnah Berurah, third white line from the bottom. The Kosa B'Seder for Charedim, the Charedim, very early source, writes, the Mizen Nilmat from Zimulan, Kshoyme V'after Hashem Elokecha. A person, when he says, V'after Hashem Elokecha, Yireh, he must see, L'hachnis Avat Hashem Yisbach B'Libo, he must love HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he says those words. Why? What's the connection? Why are we saying that now? We just said now about person must ensure to wear tefillin when he says Shema.
There has to be a love that leads to action.
Similar. No.
Saying about doing literally what the...
Oh, that's it. We're saying that you can't say Shema and not keeping to what it says. How can you say Shema and not put on tefillin? It says you should put on tefillin. You're not wearing tefillin. That doesn't make any sense. So similarly also, the Shema tells you something else as well. Shema tells us, V'after Es Hashem Elokecha. Shema tells you, you must love Hashem. And how can you say Shema, and you're not even thinking about loving Hashem? It's the same idea. You're lying. You're making a fool. What's the word? You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You're saying love Hashem, da 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 da, and you're not doing it. Yeah, okay, because you can't. You physically can't. But you could love Hashem once resetting Shema. Look at those words. You should see. You should put love Hashem in your heart. That a person should not look as if he's lying and being dishonest about the Shema that he's reciting. Yeah, and that's really a crucial, important Yisraelistic halacha, which is, I believe, very hard. Rabbi Yisai, we're learning, Mishnah Berurah tells the name of Sefer Charedim, you must love Hashem when you say the words of V'after. I think that's quite hard. And you must feel that sensation, you must go through that emotional feeling to love Hashem when you say V'after es Hashem Elokecha. Otherwise, Mishnah says it's a bit like mit edus sheker, a bit like lying. What do you think about that, Rabbi Yisai? It's quite a hard one. Rabbi Yisai, to summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about the halacha of the Zohar HaKadosh tells us a person should leave his house whilst wearing talis and tefillin, and that's the way he should enter the shul. So the Shulchan Aruch's understanding was, it's good enough to wear tzitzis and tefillin, and that's how you go into shul. The Ramah said, no, better to put on talis and tefillin, and that's how you go to shul. The Mishnah Berurah says that the idea is really to leave your house whilst wearing talis and tefillin, but at the same time, the Mishnah Berurah says, if second best, if you can't do it, you can do it in a chotzah, such as the streets are dirty, or such as when there's goyim around. So second best is to put in the chotzah of the shul. Third best is to put it actually in shul. We also learned that the Rosh used to say Oite Yisrael b'sifar and then put on tefillin. Mishnah Berurah says it's an unknown minik. Nobody does that. But what people do is by Oite Yisrael b'sifar to kiss the tefillin shel yad and shel Rosh. Finally, we learned that there is a halacha that a person should and must wear tefillin when he recites Shema, otherwise he's lying. How can you say, Ukshatim le'oyse aladecha, and you're not wearing tefillin? So a person must ensure to put on tefillin, to wear tefillin when he says Shema, unless he's an oynus. We also learned, the Mishnah Berurah finishes off saying, that Sefer Redim says, in similar ways, if a person says, V'avta Shema lekecha, he must surely love Hashem. She'll be zoicha to really develop true and real, Avat Hashem is Baruch Shemoy. Okay. Good evening, Abba Yisai.